This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guys, I could not believe what I was hearing. Like, this is on our local radio station. This crap is being played. I couldn't even believe the words that I was listening to.
It's Mike Shope.
As a mom, it infuriated me. Like, why is this on here?
And the Bulldog.
Like, I started to get tears in my eyes. It upset me so much. And my 11-year-old daughter listens to this radio station. Never again will she listen to this.
It's Mike Shope.
I've got to collect myself because this is what our youth is being subjected to.
And the Bulldog.
This is on our radio station that our kids are listening to. I am so upset. This is ridiculous.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I cannot believe this stuff is on the radio. I just don't even understand why they think that's okay.
On WGR.
My daughter will never listen to that radio station again, ever. I am shaking. I cannot believe that filth is on there.
Sports Radio 550.
Read directly from the ADP chasing Discord, a transcript right from one of our chats.
All right.
This lady was not. Is there any chance that's Kelly Stafford?
Some chance. So, I mean, it's a woman.
We don't know that it isn't.
That can speak.
We don't know that it isn't.
So, like, yeah, I can't tell you for sure that it's not.
Every time I hear that one, I just start thinking of lines, and I don't know if any of them have ever really landed. You know? Something that I could have been listening to that I was outraged by, but what would that be? You know, like, soccer? No, I kind of like soccer. I don't know. Something. So, we'll try again down the road. Want to hold off on reverse AFC power rankings as we've got the Shakir news and a lot really from the combine. I was thinking we'd wait.
That's fine. Well, I did notice that you didn't make the usual weekly show of walking all the way across the room.
It's still up there.
Pulling it down. That is a new sheet. I had to start a new sheet last week. I did this with Nate. I hope I didn't leave any of your stuff in any kind of disarray over there. I didn't really have to touch it. I just...
Where's the last one? Is it up there?
The
behind it?
No, it should be on the pile. I think I left it on top of...
I see it.
I think that's what I did with it. Yeah, there's only one sheet up there.
I don't know.
Well, no, I'm fine holding off. It's a big day for me. You know how I love Shakir.
Yes, I do.
I loved him a lot more on a fifth-round rookie contract, but still, I mean, I think he earned getting paid, and he's been paid.
Yes. Khalil Shakir signs an extension.
I like that
he becomes the 23rd highest-paid wide receiver in the NFL, according to SpotTrack.
For now. That's what I was just going to say before you said that. I like that they did it before the cycle. hits because
Better.
Yeah, well, I would anticipate by the time, you know, some guys will leave the 23 and above status, you know, get cut or whatever, and probably not get the same contract that they currently have. But still, once the shuffle is all done, I predict he's somewhere between 30 and 40 in the league as far as like highest paid guy.
So be it.
Because that's how that works. So
where does he belong on a ranking like that? I mean, the money list is never the talent list.
Right.
But is he the 23rd best receiver in the league? No. But, you know, whatever the dust settles at, maybe that'll be about right.
More comparable, sure. He did rate very highly in some different metrics, like, you know, top five, top ten in catch percentage and rack yards and things. So that there is certainly, there's value there. I still think even now.
His PFF grade, for those inclined to, you know, respect that, 21st. Right at
Already winning.
Right. Already. I'm only paying him as the 23rd.
I'm already winning.
Damn. What a steal. What will I say? You know why I'm smiling? Do you know what I'm going to say?
I really don't know.
It's fine.
Yeah. I accept that.
I think.
I accept that. I think it's fine, too.
He and Cook are the same to me as, like, quality. I came away from this season, my bottom line was, it's Josh Allen, you know, it's Dawkins and other good players, and then, like, there's a short list of guys that I think are really important to the Bills that they have. Different from, of course, when Diggs was here, especially earlier in his career with the Bills. And, you know, you had stars on defense, and Von Miller is diminished, the safeties left, Trey White left, it was different. And, you know, it was a very good season. I mean, I wanted to say fine again. It was better than in the way I think of, you know, what the word means to me, better than a fine season. It was a very good season, but that was my bottom line on this team. And I'm not alone in that. You might mostly agree with that, like, I'm not the Ravens. I beat the Ravens, which is what matters, mm-hmm. but I'm not loaded. You know, that's fair to say.
No, right.
And so Shakir is sort of an embodiment of that, as is Cook. Nobody's all-pro players. Nobody's. Especially Shakir. But you go online today, as I'm sure many people have that are listening now, and it's pretty much universal. I mean, you have the fans, and you have the fans in the media who are like, oh, congratulations. I mean, it's pretty much universal, though. You go outside of our area, and analysts are like, yep. This is a good deal. This is a good player. And that's just kind of like how everybody read. Yeah. I didn't read any objection to this move, and I don't have one myself. You know, he's fine, right? He's got a high floor. You get pretty much the same. I'm sorry for my voice. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I think if it's like yesterday, it'll get better.
You started out like this yesterday, too.
Yeah,
that's right.
Then it felt better. I don't know. I'm not sick, as far as I know. Anyway, you kind of know what you're. He's one of the more consistent players in the league in terms of production. It's look at the playoffs. Three games, he had six catches exactly in all three games, and one was on six targets, and the other two were on seven. And it's, you know, fair yard, 50, 60 yards, no touchdowns. Like, that's what you get from Shakir. And while he was a value in the draft, and there's a lot to like about him and his importance to the team. They don't have any wide receivers who are better right now than Khalil Shakir. It's still only like here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not getting touchdowns. I'm not getting big plays.
He still is. He is your slot receiver. Is what he is, and that doesn't have to necessarily limit any of the things that you just mentioned, but. It's just different than, and it's valued, I think, differently than an outside. Cole Beasley was thought of as the best slot receiver in football when the Bills signed him the first time. And what did he get, $9 million a year back then? Like, that's about, with inflation, that's about right for what Shakir just got. And I don't think anybody's calling him the best slot receiver in football right now.
No.
But maybe he's a contender for that. I don't know. I think
we had a nice wave of great slot receivers have come into the league in the last five. St. Brown and like CeeDee Lamb and guys like this that
right.
are often lined up there. And so that sort of ends that.
Right.
Beasley wouldn't be.
No.
Beasley would not be the best wide receiver,
no.
slot receiver in the league now or even close.
Beasley might feel like he deserves some credit as a trailblazer for lifting the prominence of the slot receiver. I don't know. A trailblazer, at least for the guys you just mentioned, who are obviously athletically, their profiles blow Beasley and Shakir out of the water. I think he was always more important to me than Cook. And, you know, the reason is going to bore you because one's a receiver and one's a running back. So I got to keep the wheels, you know, in motion as best I can with this passing offense that is lacking still, like, real explosiveness. And so Shakir was always, to me, an off-season priority. And so I'm not surprised that he got done first. You know, Cook was the one making noise, and I guess maybe if I was a running back or my son was a running back or my brother was a running back, I might tell him to make noise because you probably have to make noise in order to actually get anywhere contractually in the NFL, even with last year's sort of running back renaissance we experienced. Whereas receivers, they kind of can't wait to pay receivers, the league. And I wonder, we talked a little bit about this last week one day when Nate was in, like looking at, say, I think that his target was, at the time, the 27th highest paid receiver in the league at the time, off last year's stuff, was Tyler Lockett at $15 million a year. Funny enough, that's the annual average value in total. I mean, I don't know if Shakir will come close to seeing every dime of that, you know, because the back end of these contracts often get redone, you know, after year two or year three. But anyway, the point that being made that day by Nate was that there's the Tyler Lockett, like the 27th highest paid receiver in the league, getting $15 million with running backs sort of catching up last year. Like, maybe we're gonna see a shift, and teams are gonna stop paying number two receivers so much money. Right, number ones, we know what the marketplace looks like for guys that are certifiable studs out there, and I don't know that that's going away anytime soon, but it might be that teams will start looking to find shortcuts and cut corners when they're looking to round out, because if you're paying the top end so much more, it stands to reason that someone somewhere in the pecking order, you're going to get squeezed out and not be able to afford to pay, you know, your two or three receiver that much money to keep, you know, to keep a fleet of guys on the field. The Bills have the benefit right now of not having one of those guys.
That's one way to look at it.
You know, we'll see if they do anything about that in the offseason. I'm not anticipating that they will.
Well, there are a lot of interesting things here, and that's one of them, is whether or not this doesn't really have to work like this, but would the Shakir contract have you sort of have it decided for you that nobody's coming in over the top this offseason of him?
I might have thought, even if they didn't get Shakir done, that they wouldn't sign a receiver to $20 million or more. Now, that would exceed what he's getting, but I feel like, you know, you've mentioned Hollywood Brown, and I got to admit, like, looking at the marketplace and reading that maybe Josh Allen likes him, $7 million, like, let's try that, right? Does he get more than he got last year?
This is Brown?
Yeah.
I didn't know the Allen.
While you were away last week, there was a...
Don't the Bills give Allen everything he wants?
Some attachment of Allen's name to liking Hollywood Brown.
Okay. I have not thought about him seriously for this offseason. I liked the idea last year, and I have brought his name up because he's up, and the wide receiver list is pretty weak. But I have not – that's what I meant before. Like, I didn't expect – if the number was going to be $20 million, then it was $20 million. I didn't expect the Bills, and still don't, and I guess I'm a little bit more convinced they won't, to sign a receiver this offseason for $20 million. But, you know, part of it is, who would it be? But even just like in theory – no, I'm not sure if in theory is enough. I think in theory plus what the list looks like, I wouldn't expect, you know, and didn't expect them to do that. So Shakir makes sense. He's good. 18 games this year, he got you more than 72 yards twice. He got you four touchdowns. I think the thing that you can't lose sight of, I don't know, this is a little bit superficial, but the thing that I think you can't lose sight of here is the dollars are about to explode again. Like, this contract, any contract being signed right now, or maybe a better point would be like last year, what it's going to look like in 3 years with the cap exploding again. I don't know. It's almost like, what's the point of ranking them? And that happens, you know, right? Matthew Stafford is being talked about right now. Like, is he a top 10 or top 9 based on $50 million, what the threshold is? You look at a list of the top 12 quarterbacks by AAV, Allen is not on it.
Right.
Like, he's not in the top 12. Trevor Lawrence is, you know, some guys just like the ladder at work or whatever it is, you know, it's your turn. And teams make those commitments, of course. And so that might explode again, too, at quarterback. Whoever's up this year, next year is, you know, maybe in a great spot.
Yeah, I think Allen, there's to me, I wouldn't want to say this, you know, unequivocally, like this is going to happen. But it shouldn't surprise anyone if at some point between now and September, we find out that Josh Allen just became the highest paid player in the history of the sport. Because they're going to do something to try to free up cap room. And even making him that, the highest paid player in the history of the sport, will do that because of the way they'll structure it. I mean, they'll just kick cans. They will kick 10-gallon drums down the road. Not forget about a can.
Cantaloupes.
They're just going to be... And he's due for an adjustment, and that can be more than just, you know, restructuring and turning, you know, salary into bonus and whatever. They can just give him a whole new deal, and I think it might be time for that. He's the MVP, so you want to keep up appearances. You certainly want to keep him from ever lying awake at night thinking, I'm the 15th highest paid quarterback in the league. What the hell is going on here?
What's Mahomes?
Right? I haven't looked at that list, but I'll bet he's not far from where Allen is.
No, right. It's that long ago.
Yeah, right. And so that all and maybe if they both get done this year, then Mahomes will become that. Right? But if Allen gets into the to the finish line first, at the moment, I think that's what he'll be. The highest paid player in the history of the sport.
Okay. I mean, that's how it always goes.
Right.
He's obviously worth it. I mean, worth elite level money, whatever that is. It's always changing. I think the thing with Shakir, I never spent 2 seconds thinking he wouldn't be on the team next year. It is interesting to put him next to Cook because Cook has been noisy so far, and I don't know if Shakir has done anything. You know, just publicly, that's what we have to work with. Mm-hmm. But he gets the deal done. Man, the Bill Bean today, McDermott yesterday, they can't stop telling you how much they love Cook. Beautiful man.
Yep.
Today he was described as by Bean. Yesterday, McDermott just, you know, what it's like to coach him and everything. You know, are they just filling time or are they speaking to him? It reminds me of Diggs, actually, because when speculation was rolling when it came to Diggs and where his heart lied and everything like that. You know, when McDermott and Bean would talk or when Allen would talk, they'd constantly just beg you to believe how much they love him. Like, it was just so over the top. I don't know if it means anything with Cook. You know, it's not like it went on and on and on, but, you know, both guys are going so hard here at the combine to tell you what they think of him.
I think that's an effort. You like to play the opposite game, and I don't need to exactly – well, I don't want to rip that off either this point. But I think that if – when you're in a situation where a guy has made noise publicly, and I guess, you know, he scrubbed – it's all gone now, but, you know, we know what happened. When a guy does that, and you definitely – you know, you don't want to certainly be portrayed publicly as being mad about it because you value the player. I think the last thing you want to ever seem like is like you're running away from how good the guy is. So they're still, you know, talking him up. I liked McDermott on him yesterday. You can dismiss it as glowing platitudes out there if you want to, or even you in here. But the work and how rewarding that is for a coach to see a guy make, you know, progress and take the job seriously. I also think there's a message in there to a guy like Keon Coleman when McDermott is talking, because he sounded very much the opposite about Coleman. They're in different places in their careers, obviously. One's only played 1 year. One's already completed 3. But I think they did a good job of not running away from his value, but yet also not telling you, we're just going to meet whatever price he names. Like, we got to sit down and figure something out. And, you know, there's a place to do that. But out here, you should be talking about how awesome he is and how hard he's worked.
That's fair enough. Okay.
Like, I don't think that strengthens his position so much. Like, walk in a room and say, like, well, you said I'm great, so give me $15 million a year. Like, no, that's not how this works.
Well, I don't know if this changed for you last week, but I might predict Cook comes a little bit close to that in the end because they will sign him. And the cap is going to go way up again. Like, this is going to just be every time with one of these, that's going to be said. And I think it's right to point out. And, you know, the way Mike Jannetty talked about it from SpotTrack, you can do 3 or 4 years right now and get him to 10. And that's kind of like market rate. And it's not going to probably take him past his prime or past the point of his being effective. Like, he's a core piece. And if all the things are true about his being coachable, and obviously we know what his production was, then maybe that's where we land.
That really depends to me on how, because a part of that from Mike a couple weeks ago from SpotTrack you're referencing was like, yeah, you know, you can get, you know, the dressing on the side here will be, you know, 4 years, $60 million. I got my $15 million a year. But, like, how much of that is really going to be seen? Like, is it ostensibly a two-year, $22 million contract? You know, like, what does the player want? Does he want the news conference where that – and Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport tweeting where he got $15 million a year? You know, quote-unquote $15 million a year? If that's what he wants – okay, maybe you can figure that out and not ever really give him $15 million a year, but it sounds like he got it, and maybe that's a win for the player. If he really wants $15 million a year, I don't think he's ever going to get it here. Like, I don't predict over the next 4 years the Bills are going to give him $60 million, ever.
Well, I might agree with that, but yeah, I think you could get that other stuff.
Right.
Numbers
and if that
normally
him,
would blow your mind.
Right.
Because, like, it's a running back.
You can go all the way back to Le'Veon Bell. Like, that was the big problem. Like, you would hear what the contract offer was, but, like, his comeback was always, yeah, this is not, the guaranteed money doesn't really add up, and, like, this is not worth the paper it's written on. And, you know, he played his cards the way he played them. I'm not as quick to assume, by the way. Go ahead.
Sorry. He didn't get crushed. He lost a year.
Yeah.
It's not a success story, but he did get a deal from the Jets.
Yeah. I'm not as quick to assume that they will get something done.
With Cook.
With Cook.
Okay.
Because I do think, like, if he is really unwilling.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes. You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes.
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
To be as flexible as I just described about the window dressing of the contract and really wants nuts and bolts, $15 million, they're always going to have, like, he's under contract for another year, and the franchise tag is out there, and like, look, if it does get contentious, it's not to predict it will. I'm just not assuming that it won't, because to me it could. With the way it started, I think it could, because Cook did not have to fire the shots he fired, but he did. So I think there's still some chance that the Bills could just say, okay, all right, let's just leave that for now. We got other guys that we got to pay, and we can't agree with you, and you know, your move.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's not going to be – I'm not going to say that this has to be done by the draft or something. Like, I don't think it's that sort of urgency.
Right.
So if it does go into the summer, then it does. But that's, you know, being a good negotiator. They really don't need to do anything before that. They don't need to do anything, well, at all, arguably. We'll see if I want to stand on that square for too long. 803-0550 for your calls. I think the bottom line on Shakir is it's good for him. It makes sense. It's fine. Are the Bills going to do anything more about their offense? Assuming Cook is back, Shakir is back, Kincaid is back. I mean, he's under contract. So is Knox. I thought maybe when the season ended, Knox could be vulnerable. McDermott went on about how important he is, and, you know, that would be weird now. It happens. He also said he's going to keep his special teams coach.
I mean, I was waiting to say that.
Happens.
Yes, right.
But, yeah, like, I think, does anybody not? It's a debate. Does anybody think their offense will be much different, that they want it to be, that they're going to bring somebody in? I mean, the best they're going to do, I know we have to get to a break, but the best they're going to do in the draft at a skill position is, like, the late second round pick, maybe. I guess early, never with the pick 30. Is that going to be, well, I can't say never.
But I expect the same.
If they go 3 years in a row to a pass catcher and the first two have turned out like they have, that's weird.
Yeah.
Like, and their defense kind of got
the defense needs some attention. Yeah.
Yeah, so it could happen, but I would not bet on it. Lines are open for your calls. Sal Capaccio from Indianapolis, site of the NFL Combine at 4. We've got the Sabres home to Anaheim tonight. Pregame at 6. Let us know what you think about where the Bills are at and the draft with all the prospects we'll be hearing about here in the coming days. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Khalil, as you guys know, is just what a pro. Done everything exactly the right way. And he's one of those guys, he doesn't say much. He just lets his play speak for itself. Mm-hmm. And a highly respected guy in our locker room. And that's what you want to do. You want to reward the guys that are like, you know, Khalil. That I think you'd have a hard time finding someone to say a bad word about Khalil Shakir, what he's brought to our team the last 3 years, and what we'll count on him to bring, you know, for years to come.
Brandon Bean earlier today from Indianapolis. That, an interview on the show that precedes ours. One Bills Live. He also did a press conference. Sal Capaccio was a part of that, and Sal will join us in half an hour. 803-0550, Shakir. I just think it's kind of what tends to happen, but you sort of sit with it in the moment And then the years go by and the rankings change as other guys come in over the top and get paid. It sounds like the NFL and, you know, actually hockey too, on its level, are about to really pop when it comes to the cap.
That's right. Yeah.
It's been announced.
It's the kind of thing that we just sort of sleep through in Buffalo now as hockey fans because the Sabres aren't even spending to the cap now and haven't for quite a few years. There's a significant jump coming in that sports cap too. And of course, football is, you know, the king of all. So, you know, that is expected to go. It's only 22 to 26 million up this year, I think, was the reporting last week, early last week. But after that, once all the streaming stuff like really takes hold, I think the league has been, you know, and look, we can all object to having to go get all these different platforms or feeling the need to go out to watch because I don't want to pay for that one on top of that one and that one and that one. But like Netflix is in the game, Amazon is in the game, Peacock is in the game. So, you know, that is only going to bring forth more revenue for the league, which will result in the cap going, I think, astronomically up in the next few years.
There's a measuring change happening too. Like viewers who are streaming were like not counted traditionally. So ratings would exclude them, or at least used to or mostly did, would exclude them. And that doesn't really make sense anymore, right? I mean,
because so many people are doing it.
Yeah. So many people are doing it, and viewing habits and everything else have changed so much. So why shouldn't YouTube TV count? Why shouldn't all the other, you know, audiences be counted? Which is just, you know, huge for the league. That ad revenue, I say this like a layman, like I know, but the ad revenue is based on those other ratings. That's how our business works. You know, so everybody now has to get more creative, and there's the, you know, we're on YouTube and the app and everything like that. So football, just media in general, Nielsen, going to count all these people, and they should, and that's great for the NFL. Because we have these, I mean, raise your hand. We have these subscriptions because of sports or even just because of the NFL. In my case, Peacock, yes, and I kept it because I liked the SNL stuff from last month, and I've loved watching that. And what am I watching there now? Something else. But, yeah, Peacock is – it started with football. It started with Kansas City, Miami in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Had to have it. Went away, went back. Prime, my wife has for some reason. So we have Prime. So that worked out for me on Thursday nights.
I think we get Prime because my wife is such a great customer.
Shipping.
I think is what – yeah. I mean, we get – that is – I think rolled in with you know, so I'm sure there's something that is being paid, but I have no idea. I never had to go find that just started showing up in my house. Prime.
I don't want to do without Thursday nights.
No, me either.
I mean, one game a year like Netflix or something, fine, but
right.
You know, Thursday night, I want that.
And that's one we've always had in our, like, Netflix is like the OG of all this, and at least for me anyway, and I think, you know, one of the very first streaming platforms, and like that's not going anywhere.
I have Netflix, but I don't really want to have it. And same thing, like I got it along when it was DVDs, Netflix, remember that?
Yes.
You send in the movie and get another one. I mean, I go back with Netflix to that. Was that 20 years ago, 10, whatever that was? More than 10, probably. That's the one, like, it's always getting more expensive. And my problem detaching from it, though, is every time I look at it, there's some documentary that I can't miss. So I like the content. I don't watch any of the shows, really, that I know of. Who knows? Now I'm watching Severance on Apple because my son got a phone, and the phone got him Apple.
There you go.
So, like, let's use it. So
right.
Now I'm watching. I'm listening to Severance podcasts. I don't know. Like, it's got to break.
Sure,
I'm going to break.
But I don't know. I don't know when and where. You know, like I've resisted Peacock. I don't. I do. I got it for that one playoff game, and then I don't know. Were the Bills?
Bills Chargers.
That. But I didn't need it for that because it was on. It was a Bills game, so I got away with it last year, I think. And then this year, I don't know.
Christmas.
What, yeah.
Well, that was Netflix.
That was Netflix. Yeah. I'm trying to think like what I think I went out. Yeah, there was a game. Maybe Thanksgiving weekend was a peak. I went out
Black Friday
to watch. Yeah, I went out to watch the Peacock game this year. So I never
I don't even know
on
if that's
that
right.
Anyway,
one of them.
Yeah,
one of them was Peacock.
Yeah,
which I like Peacock, but I mean it's killing me. Oh, plus I have the Fubo, so I can watch soccer, right, and Top Chef.
And the rest of the football.
That's right.
That's Sundays. That's the rest
good
of the
point.
That's the
sports.
Rest of the football. Right.
And the Sabres, you know.
Right. That's really the sole purpose of Fubo. Is that.
Just exhausting to even
yeah, I know.
Think
I
about.
Know. I you see those ads for the apps that will sort of collect all of the things that you're paying for that you may have lost track
yes,
of.
Yes.
I'm
did you do that?
No. I'm as scared of doing that
I
as I ever would be to sit down and total up all the money we spent on goalie equipment about an 8-year run when Owen was a goalie and then he got good enough that it was like, okay, we got to get the stuff, you know, like the helmet's $1,000. Okay. I've never wanted to tally that up because I just think it will hurt.
The clinics.
Yeah, just all the
travel,
stuff.
The special order pads because he's 6'10". Yeah, I don't want to know. I don't. On your behalf, I don't want to know.
I'm sure the streaming
number.
Stuff is not as egregious as that, but it's the same concept. Like, I'd rather not know.
I'm telling you, I'm always tempted by that ad. The app that's going to count up your subscriptions.
You know what I'm worried about is I'm going to pay for that. Purge everything, but then like I
then you're gonna owe them.
I'm gonna owe them. That's gonna be. I'm gonna need an app to tell me about that I'm paying for their app.
Yeah, well, that's right.
It's never ending.
It's never ending.
That's how they get you.
I want that app, and I don't for the reasons you said, because I bet I have 10 times more subscriptions than or 5 times more than I think. Just like the people in the commercial, like the actors.
Right.
There is one that I got billed for the other day from Google, and nowhere in the receipt does it say what it's for.
Love that.
So I felt like I was 90 when I hit like the help button, and like an email to Google or whoever, PayPal, whoever I'm sending it to.
Yep.
Hey, can you tell, you know,
what was this
excuse
for?
Excuse me, what is this? No response.
Right.
So I think I just have to cancel that on principle. And then, oh, I don't have this anymore. That must have been it.
Yeah, right. We had that in
Disney.
Here.
Disney? You have Disney?
I went. Yeah,
you have Disney?
I have that with the. Yeah,
we have Disney.
With ESPN Plus, I think, is one bundle.
For my daughter, Disney Plus. And as it happens, last night, she wanted to watch one of the Mighty Ducks series.
Mm-hmm.
There's like Mighty Ducks, all kinds of Mighty Ducks content. Do you ever see it? I never saw it.
I never saw any of the movies, no.
I mean, you've got the Mighty Ducks Game Changers.
Okay.
So she goes to one and another. My wife goes to, can't find it. Just go to my, look, this won't be hard. Just search it. Just like, hello, phone, where is Mighty Ducks Game Changers? Like Disney Plus. Great. Look how easy that was. Go to Disney Plus, not there.
Mm.
Only the trailer.
Oh, boy.
I don't know.
Yeah.
All the other Mighty Ducks things are there. The show has never sounded older.
Yeah,
the show has
not. Yeah, I know.
The best. Now I'm going to get defensive. Just point out that my daughter is 13. All right. I mean, I can't be that old if my. I'm not Larry King. Now the show really sounds old. Who's that? Who's Larry King?
Is it 803? Is it time for a break?
Those are my 2 cents.
Good Lord. I can see the dot, dot, dots at the end of every sentence you're saying.
Right. Right.
I'm just making it worse.
Brown is the best mustard.
Because that was in the newspaper when he would write these thoughts and like everything had a dot. Yeah, yeah. Brown is the best mustard.
Brown is the best mustard.
Dot, dot, dot. Oh, my God. Oh.
I say OJ didn't do it, but he may have.
Dot, dot, dot.
No matter what anybody thinks, Charlton Heston could act. It's not the sexiest, but once in a while, water really hits the spot.
I don't care what anybody says. Nothing beats a good hot dog.
Right. Oh, okay. Khalil Shakir. Sal coming up from...
to save us from ourselves.
What would Larry King have thought of Khalil Shakir?
You probably think he was fine.
Fine.
Dot, dot, dot.
He was right a lot. Sal coming up at 4. This is WGR. In about 15 minutes, we'll bring on Sal Capaccio from the Combine in Indianapolis. Talk about the Khalil Shakir contract news. What was said about James Cook and rule stuff. It's a good week for that too. We had some of that with Sal after Sean McDermott spoke yesterday about the tush push and certain things. Another one is that there seems to be a discussion about on touchbacks, on kickoffs, the ball going to the 35 instead of the 30 to try to give teams that much more of an incentive to not just bang the ball through right. the end zone.
Yeah.
Or just into the end zone.
I gotta say that kickoff rule change when it got implemented and right through the summer, I always said it's going to be a non-event. Teams are just not going to want to chance it, and they're going to kick it out of the end zone. And that did not happen. Kickoffs went up by a lot. Like returned kicks, I should say, not just kickoffs. Kickoff returns went up significantly. So, and you know, if they found a way to do that, and presumably they have, make it safer, right? The guys aren't running 40, 50 yards downfield full speed and crashing into one another anymore because of the way they're structuring both sides of the players and the way the rules are, then I guess I'm interested to see if they can do something to make even, because it is action, you know, like part of the reason, it's not that I didn't want to see more kickoffs, I just didn't think we would. I didn't think teams would risk it with the rule change and the uncertainty of that. Like, just boot it through there, find the 30. At least I know. I've got certainty on what's going to happen here. And again, that didn't happen. So if teams were more inclined to either run it out or teams were inclined to put it in place so they had to return it, go farther then. You know, I even read a little bit about pushing back where the kicker will kick the ball from to decrease the likelihood of being able to attain touchbacks on such a regular basis.
Whether they want it or not.
Right.
Like right now, it's a choice.
Right.
Mostly it's a choice. You're going to miss hit one every once in a while. But yeah, I'm realizing as you're saying all that I don't know what the numbers look like. Because I thought you were going to say that teams still took the touchback constantly. Because that's what the league looked like to me.
Yeah. No, it didn't. I'm surprised. I think the numbers, boy, I feel like it was as much as like a 40% uptick in kick returns. That might be too high, but I the number blew my mind when I saw it. Like percentage returns from last year to this year with the new rules in effect had a pretty dramatic impact.
Okay. There has been a lot of news today. It sounds now from the Chiefs that Travis Kelce wants to play this year.
Good.
Oh, sure.
Good.
I think he's shot.
I think he's diminished and will cost them a lot of money. And like, I get it's a tough spot for them. I wonder if they would like him to retire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like let's just get out of this.
How much is it?
If we can. I think 14, 17,
fine.
Somewhere in that range. It's,
you know,
it's pretty big.
Everybody's going to have all the money that they want now. So I'd want him back if I were Kansas City.
Yeah.
Just for the playoffs. I'll be in the playoffs. I mean, he did nothing against the Bills. And the rest of the team did. Worthy did, if I remember the game right. And the Super Bowl was quiet. But the game before against Houston, he had a big game. So, and that's what, you know, that's what, I don't want to say, I can't really say won it for them last year, but he had a pretty quiet, for him especially, regular season, and then in the playoffs. I'll still remember for a long time the catch he made against the Ravens. I mean, did he have two against the Bills in the playoff game here? I mean, he was a huge factor in that game. And in the championship game against Baltimore, like, I was really into Baltimore. And it might have been a fourth down, like early in the game, first drive even, for the Chiefs.
This is the year before last.
Yeah, 23
right.
in the AFC Championship. And Hamilton is all over, I think it's Hamilton, on this play and then on the touchdown to end that drive. And they're both perfectly covered passes, and Kelce makes this diving, outstretched catch in both cases. Like, all right, well, that guy doesn't look like he's completely shot. And, you know, such a close game. We know this from our experience against them. A difference. So I don't know. Like, I wouldn't just assume that it ends up hurting the Chiefs. How about putting it that way, if he plays? The Browns, again, deny any sort of Myles Garrett trade discussion. I mean, the GM today was, he was like taking questions by saying things like, well, why would we even address that? We're not even thinking about this.
I might use the word defiant to describe him in the face of, you know, mounting questions and maybe even pressure to respond and do something. He's just, no, I told you, we're not doing this.
One quote today, we can't imagine the situation not having Miles, the Browns GM. Well, I mean, you can imagine it.
Yeah.
I can imagine it. I can also imagine being the GM of the Browns and wanting to do it and getting a haul in the draft and actually rebuilding my team.
I can imagine being the GM of the Browns and feeling like I know I've got to do it and wanting to position myself as though I'm never going to do it so that you don't come in to me and call me with garbage ideas. if I'm really going to do it, I'm going to take your call about this. You better be offering something really substantive. You're not going to steal this player from me. I'm not going to act as though I have a gun to my head, even though I kind of have a gun to my head.
I wonder what he would say to, say, Brandon Bean if Bean did call him about it. Didn't you hear the press conference? Haven't you paid attention? Like, would he be angry? Because, you know, on the inside, the GMs know that sometimes you're posturing and sometimes, you know, your actual feelings are not what you're representing. So I think if you're Bean and you make that call and the Browns guy gets angry with you, because I've said it over and over, you can say, like, all right, sorry, just wasn't sure that's how you really felt.
I think you need to call, and I'm going to assume this has already happened, with any team that could be interested in this player, and I dearly hope that the Bills are one of them. You need to find out. Like, hey, man, like, I don't want to offend you. I just want to, you know, I know what you're saying publicly, but, like, is there something that I can do for you that could get us started on this? And if it's a flat no, then okay. Then I got my answer. And maybe if things change, if it sounds different publicly in a week or a month, then I'll call back and revisit. But if there's, well, you know, actually, you know.
You just leave it at, just don't trade him without calling me first.
Right.
Because I might be able to do better than what you've got in your pocket. Sal from Indy after the update here on WGR.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.